Good to see all of you. This is good, Lord, in prayer. Father, we thank you for this morning and for each one here. Father, direct our hearts and our thoughts to focus on you, Lord Jesus, to seek you out, to be aware of your presence. I pray to your Holy Spirit that this is a time in which we come together in your house, not to hear the preacher, but to hear you. And I pray, Father, that each person here will sense your presence, and that we will leave this place today saying that we've been in the house of the Lord because the Lord was there. And we thank you, Father, for being here. Now, Father, again, direct our hearts and minds to you. Hold back distractions that would keep us from focusing, and help us to hear what you'd have us to hear today, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. When we moved to Kalinga, one of the things that I noticed as we were going for walks around town were the, it was a little after we moved to Kalinga, when they started putting up the plaques in Kalinga, all the different old buildings and the old sites and stuff, and reading the history of Kalinga. And I like that, because it gives you a reflection of what Kalinga used to be and where it is today. But it helps us to understand how we've progressed, or who we are, or who we were. And so there's a map that you can get of all the different markers through Kalinga, and you can follow that and learn about the history of Kalinga. I haven't done that yet, but I'd like to. Being Memorial Day weekend, is there anyone here that's served in the military? Anybody serve in the military here today? Okay, Bob. Of course, Bob. He's not standing or acknowledging. Anyone else? Back there? No? Okay. Thank you, Bob, for serving our country and for all the men and women that have served our country in the past and that are doing it today. So it's a, you know, I know our son out at sea, and it's a, you know, we don't realize everything that goes on out there, and because of national security and those types of things, but we thank the Lord for those that literally are out there working to defend our country and to protect us. So thank you. Thank the Lord for that. Being Memorial Day, my wife put on here, and we were talking about the introduction, talking about the city and all the history spots also. But yesterday our daughter made my wife a memory box for her 50th birthday. But kind of like a Memorial Day weekend, you know, she was born on Memorial Day weekend. So there's a memory envelope for every year that she's been alive. And so it was good to reflect on those old memories. But that's what we do on Memorial Day. We look at the memories of the past. But we look at those that are still alive and those that have gone on as well. And when we go to the San Joaquin Veterans Memorial Cemetery over in Santanella, that's where my dad is buried. And so we go there, and there's a picture of this soldier here. Not a picture, but this is a statue at the cemetery there by Santanella. And those are in honor of the airborne soldiers. The soldiers, the men and women that jumped out of the planes and went on a special mission to defeat the enemy. So they didn't just jump out as parachuters. They jumped into enemy territory, and they were on special mission, special assignments. And so there's a statue there commemorating all those that were in that branch of serving our country. When we go to our own cemetery, we see all the flags. When we go to the cemetery there, we see all the flags. That particular cemetery, when you go in, there's a pretty long driveway going in, and they've got full flags lining both sides of the street. You're going in. It's very patriotic. It makes you proud to be an American. There's a hill with a flag on top of the hill flying bold and bright, and reminding us that, you know, we have had a wonderful country that men and women had fought to give us what we have and what liberties and freedom we have. If there's anything that I can reinforce to you today, is remember, do not allow your freedom of speech to be taken away. Do not allow your freedom of religion or faith to be taken away. But stand on truth. And sometimes that's hard to do, but that's part of the squeeze on us in our country today, is to keep us from being able to have the freedom to speak, or the freedom to have our faith as we choose. So we need to remember that. I want to talk about memorials this morning, of course. We've talked about the memorial Sue Kalinga. We talked about the memory box for my wife. We've talked about the cemetery of Santanella and the statue of the airborne soldiers that were there being commemorated. But I want us to think about Memorial Day and think about what you give or what you contribute to your own memorial. Now, that sounds a little bit morbid. I'm not talking about when you're dead and you're in heaven as believers in Christ, you know, when you've died and you're not, you know, absent from the body, present with the Lord in heaven. I'm not talking about thinking about that per se, although that's part of it. But I want you to think about, what track record have you had in your Christian walk that is a living memorial to your faith in Jesus? Because whatever example you and I give of being faithful to God is a memorial that will encourage other Christians to be faithful too. And so I want us to think about that. So a memorial set for you in Isaiah 56, 4 through 6 is a weird passage of scripture. It says, "For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place." Now, that phrase, a place, in other translations is translated a memorial. Okay? A memorial. All right? And so God is saying, through Isaiah, he says, those eunuchs, those faithful eunuchs in the temple that serve on the Sabbath and keep the Sabbath and please him, that he will make in his house a memorial within the walls, a place, and a name better than that of the sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant. What's Isaiah saying? He's saying that God is going to honor those that honor him. The eunuchs committed themselves in a way to the temple of the Lord in ways that many people don't commit themselves to today. But God's saying, you're going to have a special place of honor, and you'll have your name honored as a memorial, as being faithful to the Lord. We talked about the airborne statue and the story of those particular soldiers who jumped out of planes to fight battles and accomplish missions. But I want us to think about memorials, how God views memorials. When we lived up in Placerville, you go down old Main Street Placerville, you see all the old buildings. And there's a lot of history there when we lived there. And it's still there, obviously. But when old buildings are torn down, there's something lost in the community. When old buildings are restored, you know, years ago when they were going to tear down Radio City Music Hall, a great theater, but they decided to, and the funds came to restore it into its original glory. And if you ever get to go to Radio City Music Hall, it's a beautiful place to go and to enjoy that. But memorial stones and memorials are important to God. I don't want to drag it here this morning. I want us to understand that your life memorial and life events in your life are memorials that help us walk the Christian walk and help encourage others to do the same. God was involved in setting up memorials. We know that with the eunuchs that we just read about, but we also know there's memorial stones where the Israelites crossed the Jordan. There's a memorial jar of manna in the ark. There's a memorial of the budding of the rod of Aaron. There's the memorial tassels on Israelite clothing. Saw a guy at Fresno Community Hospital when we were over there waiting for someone to get through their surgery. And he was an Orthodox young Jewish man. And he had the tassels on his shirt. I hadn't seen that before in America. You know, the tassels to remind him of the Word of God. Memorials through various feasts and festivals. So we need to take the time to remember what God has done for us. What did Henry Blackaby do? Henry Blackaby wrote a book, co-authored a book on experiencing God. And does anybody remember about memorials in your life? What memorials do you already have in your life? What are the main markers in your life that's made a difference in your life? What events in your life were catastrophic in your life and changed your life? Those are memorials. Maybe getting married, maybe having children, maybe having cancer, maybe the death of a loved one, whatever. But there are memorials in our life that have directed us in certain paths. And how we live for the Lord through our own unique set of memorials and circumstances of our life is opportunity to give God glory. And so we need to remember that. The second thing I want us to remember this morning is that that as we look at our own lives and the memorials, I want us to look at an example of Senator John McCain. And I want to read to you an article from the U.S. News.com, just a little excerpt from one of his what he had said about being a prisoner of war, a POW. Okay, to some it says some North Vietnamese swam out and pulled me to the side of the lake and immediately started stripping me, which is their standard procedure. Of course, this being in the center of town, a huge crowd of people gathered, and they were all hollering and screaming and cursing and spitting and kicking at me. When they had most of my clothes off, I felt the twinge in my right knee. I sat up and looked at it, and my right foot was resting next to my left knee, just in a 90-degree position. I said, "My God, my leg." That seemed to enrage them. I don't know why. One of them slammed a rifle butt down on my shoulder and smashed it pretty badly. Another stuck a bayonet in my foot. The mob was really getting uptight. During captivity, his weight dropped as low as 100 pounds. He still walks with a limp from his injuries. They beat me around a little bit. I was in such bad shape that when they hit me, it would knock me unconscious. They kept saying, "You will not receive any medical treatment until you talk." And so, I have a question. John McCain has the scars of being a prisoner of war today, and he knows what he fought for his country for: liberty, freedom, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to own your own property, so many different freedoms that are being challenged even today. Do you and I bear the scars of living for Christ? That's really the crux of the message. Do you bear the scars of living for Christ? What are some of the scars for living for Christ? Have you been rejected emotionally from people that you love and care about because you stood up for Jesus? Have you actually taken hardship because of your walk with Jesus? Have you actually had physical pain because of your walk with Jesus? What scars do we have for living for Christ? Have you been wounded from standing for the Lord? Do you fight for Christ? Are you a soldier for Christ? Do you fight for Christ? If so, it shows your dedication and love for the Lord. Are you a soldier for Christ? Are you a follower of Christ? Are you committed to Christ? Are you willing to suffer for Christ? Are you willing to take loss for Christ? Are you willing to sacrifice for Christ? Are you willing to die to yourself for Christ and live for Christ through Him, by Him, because of Him? Galatians 6:17, it says, From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That's Paul. Paul was left dead 3 times, left out, shipwrecked, floating on scraps of wood from the ship, you know, out in the ocean for days and nights. He was beaten. He had stripes on his body that recorded the marks of his faithful service to Jesus. But you know what? We don't all get the physical marks for serving Christ. There are people around the world that have physical marks for serving Christ, that have been persecuted, and those that have been killed for Christ. But what is your mark that people see? It doesn't have to be physical, but do you stand out for Christ? Do you bear the mark of Christ? Do you bear the character of Jesus? Do you represent him? Are you building your life memorial for Jesus and his glory? When you're gone, will people see what first about you? As Christians, what we want them to see first is that we love Jesus. Everything else is secondary. And we need to ask ourselves, are we willing to build that type of life memorial reflecting our love for Christ? Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed." Jesus was beaten, who did nothing wrong, but took the stripes. And remember, when they took the whips and they beat the back of Jesus, historians say that they beat him so bad that when the flesh was pulled off of his body, that it was not uncommon for those that were beaten with the Roman lashes like that for organs, internal organs, to be exposed. And yet Jesus took that for us. Paul took the scars for living for Christ. He was willing to suffer. Jesus took the scars for you and I because he loves you and I. And he wants us to have a relationship with him. And that was part of the way of paving that relationship. But you have to ask yourself, or I'd like you to ask yourself, are you a good soldier? You know, it sounds kind of quirky. Are you a good soldier? It sounds almost a little juvenile. Are you being a good soldier? That's not the intent of the question. Because you and I are called to be soldiers for Christ. We're called to stand up for Christ. We're called into the battle of being light that stands against darkness, of being righteousness in Christ that stands against unrighteousness or sin of the world. We're called to take the heat for not going the flow of the world when the flow of the world goes against the truth of God's word. We're called to be on the front lines of battle. And I have to say, I don't think that in America that we really see the consequences of standing for Christ like others around the world do today. If you and I were being persecuted to the point that people were coming in our house and arresting us without the Patriot Act, which says you can come in and arrest you for no reason at all and keep you indefinitely in jail. That was in January of 2011. But if they came in because of your faith for Jesus, because it wasn't in the common flow of society today, and you were arrested for your faith in Christ, how would we fare? How would we stand as a soldier for Christ? If we saw persecution where loved ones were being killed because of their faith in Christ, like in other countries, how would we stand? Would we stand bold? Would we be willing to stand bold in the face of knowing that we too might die for Christ physically? See, I think when we don't have that and we have the comforts that we have today, that we take for granted what we have in Jesus and we're not willing to stand as strong for him as he wants us to. We're called to be soldiers for Christ. We're called to be engaged in a spiritual battle. We're called to be men and women that have courage and strength in Jesus for his glory. A good soldier is a soldier who follows commands. Christians are commanded to follow Christ. In Mark 8:34 it says, "When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" It's so easy if someone asks you, "Are you a Christian?" "Yeah, I'm a Christian." "Are you a follower of Christ?" "Of course I am, because I'm a Christian." "Nah, that's the wrong answer." You can't say just because I am a Christian, because I know Christ in my heart, that I'm a follower of Christ. You can't say just because I'm a Christian that I am a learner or a disciple of Christ. The only way that we are a follower of Christ, a learner or a disciple of Christ, is that we are consciously committed to following Jesus every day. Learning what we can through the Word, being the men and women that God wants us to be in him, and following him with a sensitivity of the Holy Spirit in our life, moment and moment through the day. So whoever desires to come after me, Jesus said, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. A good soldier is a fighter taught to be aggressive. You don't want wimpy soldiers. You don't want men and women out there fighting for our country that are afraid to stand up and fight as they've been trained. We don't want Christians that are unwilling to stand up and be bold and be sure and be confident of the truth of God's word and instead be willy-nilly and compromising and saying, well, I don't want to hurt your feelings, because that's not what God's called us to do. The objective is not hurting feelings. The objective is to uphold and to guard the truth. Because the truth is what protects our nation. The truth is what protects people's lives. The truth is what preserves, it gives eternal life. It gives hope. It gives a security in marriage and families. When we stand on the truth, we stand on the rock, and his name is Jesus. And when we do that, then what? Then when the storm comes, we can stand confident because we stand on truth. Not in bewilderment, not in questionable arenas that tell me, well, I don't know which way to stand. But we know where to stand. We're not standing in the world. We're not standing on Christ. We're standing, we made a decision to stand on Christ if we're going to be strong soldiers for Christ. In 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What's Timothy telling us? What is the Holy Spirit? What did the Holy Spirit inspire Timothy to write? Or Paul to write Timothy? In 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. It takes courage and determination to be a strong, committed soldier of Christ that's willing to stand and to fight our faith. My faith says the only way to heaven is Jesus. I was talking to a pastor of another denomination, and they had left the denomination. And I just tell you, it was an Episcopal denomination, and there was a split in their convention. And I asked the pastor, what's the reason why you've left and broke off? He said, because the leader of that particular denomination, based upon what I've been told by this pastor, was that the statement was declared, Jesus is a way to heaven, not the way. And so they said, no, we're breaking off. And the Anglican Church of England said, no, we're not gonna stand for that. Because Jesus is the way. You see, that I told her, I said, that takes courage to stand on truth. And I said, God bless you for that. We have to be willing to stand on the truth. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. To which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I don't know of any soldier that's trained and committed in our military forces that when they're out on the field, you don't know they're soldiers. Unless they're maybe, what do you call those guys? SEALs or, you know, the undercover type things. But generally speaking, we know who the soldiers are. A good soldier is familiar with strategy. You got to be trained in your field. You got to know what you're up against. You got to know what you're doing. If you're a soldier for Christ, what are you going to do? You're going to be trained to know what you're up against. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." And if you read the text prior to that, it's talking about if we are not forgiving as God is forgiving toward us, then we are giving in to the devices of Satan that cause conflict and destruction within the body of Christ, the church. And so Paul writes the Corinthians and says, basically he's saying in that text of that passage, he's saying, be forgiving toward one another with all sincerity, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Are you aware of Satan's devices? Do you know where your weak areas are? Do you know where your strong areas are? Do you know when you're being set up by Satan to stumble? Do you know how to identify that and turn away from that and run from that? Do you recognize Satan trying to convince us to compromise the word or to lie against the truth for the sake of being a good progressive person in society? When God says no, we're called as God's people, his children, the children of God, to stand on truth. A good soldier is familiar with his skills. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Does that sound like, hey, we're soldiers for Christ, and what is God telling you and I? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Don't be hesitant. Don't be willy-nilly. Don't be compromising of truth. Don't be, I don't know what to do and scared to death. Stand up for God. That's what he wants. Be light. That cuts through darkness. Be the people of God that stand on the rock. Be the salt that preserves the truth for the benefit of everybody that adheres to it, that it might bring glory to God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, and in the heavenly places. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Who are we fighting against? A spiritual darkness. A demonic world. Now that's not a cliche about this world, although it can be applied, but we need to understand there is a real dimension of demonic activity that's out to destroy everything that God holds true. But without avail, because God's word is victorious. We'll never be defeated. Because it's truth. But we need to understand that to be the soldier of Christ, to build that memorial of our life, that when people look at our life, whether we're alive today or whether dead and absent from the body and present with God in heaven, I like saying that, absent from the body and present with the Lord more than, because dead implies that's done. It's not. We're absent from the body, present with the Lord as believers in Christ, that people will say they were soldiers for Christ. They love Jesus first, more than anyone or anything. That was their focus. That's the memorial that you and I are called to leave, that other Christians will be encouraged to stand. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, when you look at verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day. Does that remind us of the challenge and the urgency and the importance of being that committed, strong, individual soldier for Christ? Be strong. Take a stand. That's what he's saying, right? Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. If I'm going to build, and if you're going to build, and if we desire to build, if we as Christians that are serious about following Jesus, a memorial of our life that reflects our commitment to Jesus, that brings glory and honor to Jesus, that our life is lived for the Lord, then we must remember the armor. We must remember that helmet of salvation says, I'm saved. Because I'm saved, I'm a child of God. Because I'm saved, I have eternal life through faith in Jesus. Because I'm saved, I'm part of the body of Christ. Because I'm saved, I'm the bride of Jesus. Because I'm saved, I'm the church that's commissioned. Because of that salvation, I've been given great honor to be a representative of Jesus Christ as his body, as his child, as his bride, as his church, in a world of darkness. And because of that, I'm going to walk in righteousness and keep that breastplate of righteousness on. Because of that, I'm not going to turn my back to the enemy that I know his strategies. I'm going to be wise to his strategies and face them on by faith. Because of that, I'm going to hold on to the sword, which is the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting down to the marrow and sunder a bone. Because of that, I'm going to hold on to the truth that holds my armor on. Because of that, I'm going to share the gospel. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. Since Wyatt's 18, it's fun to tease him. Because I remember when he and Greg with the Roman soldier stuff, the cardboard Roman outfit. And Greg put all the muscle tone in the chest, the breastplate of righteousness. It had all the muscle tone. Man, the six-pack, I mean, it looked good. Except it was duct tape. And I remember Wyatt had his on, and we had. So I still have the sword that your dad made for you that day. It's in my office, of keeping the armor, to remind me, keep the armor. But we saw that, we reflect on that, and it warms our hearts. But in reality, we got to keep the armor. We have to keep the armor. It's a real, literal, spiritual armor that God has given to us to put on. It's an act of faith. I'm saved. It's an act of faith. I'm going to walk in righteousness. I'm going to carry the word. I'm going to hold to the truth. All the things. And that shield. The shield. I'm going to knock off the fiery darts. You know, I was sitting here before the service began, and I thought, you know, Satan's working in different ways this morning to cause distraction. Different things going on in our congregation this morning to cause distraction. Because the devil doesn't want us to hear about being soldiers for Christ. Being committed for Him. Building a life that's a memorial. That the greatest honor you and I could have is for someone to say when we're gone or alive, their whole purpose of life is Jesus. It's the greatest honor that we could have. A good soldier is familiar with seeking encouragement from his friends. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sitting in here, I know it's Memorial Day weekend. People are out of town. It's a four-day weekend. They're gone and they're having fun and all that stuff. But I got to tell you, I miss the people that aren't here because they always encourage me. You encourage me when I see you. And we're to encourage each other in our faith and in our walk with Jesus by attending church, by serving in church, by being there for each other. And finally, a good soldier is faithful no matter what. 2 Timothy 2:3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What's the old saying? You get knocked off the horse, get back up on it, right? That type of thing. You get knocked off the saddle, get back in it. You know, God didn't call us to be wimps, and I'm not implying that you are or that I am. God has called us to be strong soldiers for Him. And that means we have to be willing to take the courage and stand in Him. But I'm going to give you a hint before we close. It's not about your strength or your might or your power or your determination. It's about our surrender to Jesus. It's only through His might, His power, His ability, His strength, His person in and through our lives that we can stand courageous as soldiers for Christ. And when we learn that we don't have to muster it up ourselves, but we have to just surrender ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be that man or woman you want me to be today for you. Help me to speak when you tell me to and to keep my mouth shut when I need to. Help me to share the light of the truth of your word where you give me opportunity to. Help me to share the love of Christ, how you have told me to sporadically spread the seed of the gospel. First, by the love of Christ, touching hearts. Memorials remind us as Christians to be good soldiers for Christ, that we too may become a memorial of encouragement to others. So as you reflect today, you see the flags on the cemetery, you think about the history and the sacrifice that men and women have made for our country and our freedoms that we have, that frankly one day may not be there. Thank God for them. But take the transition. I want to be that soldier, that spiritual soldier for Christ that glorifies God. Let's go to the Lord. Father, thank you for each one here. Father, help us to take the time today to remember people that we love that aren't here, prayerfully, that are with you. Help us to remember the sacrifices made for our country. Help us to remember the greatest sacrifice of all, that you, Lord Jesus, died for our sins on Calvary, and you rose. Praise God. And help us, Father, to be your people that have courage and boldness and that are empowered, and we are, to represent you as light and salt in the world of darkness. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.